Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill.
The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
I'm now 44. I get to upgrade to progressive frames. And I just had to complete... This is the first day I'm wearing them today. I just went to the eye doctor, picked up my glasses... And they're like, yeah, don't drive in these. Put these on when you get back to the office. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. And I'm having to, because I've had single vision lens, because I'm farsighted. And that was looking at you, Joe. You're crystal clear.
Sure.
But then I'm typically multitasking. I'll look over to the side and I can read. But not with these bad boys.
No, you got to be careful when you look up and down. It will make you dizzy. I have progressives too, but they're the other way. They're flipped.
Oh, they're flipped. Okay,
because
gotcha.
I can't see. Same problem you have when I got up in the press box. I'm like, oh, now I need that. But when I look through the top of them, it's a different prescription than at the bottom.
Yeah, right.
And you have to learn. Seriously.
This is like a PSA. Tilting my head everywhere.
You have to move your whole head.
Yeah,
man. Can't just move your eyes or you will get discombobulated. Right quick.
So looking at my computer screen, I'm like, hold on a second. Let me tilt my head this way.
There it is.
Yes. Now I can actually see the numbers clearly.
We got to get you those things for your wrist, like when you go on a boat.
To remind me?
No. To keep you from being dizzy.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess there's that. A Dramamine before I do the show. Yeah.
Careful.
No, just another reminder. I'm falling apart. It's fine. Let's answer some Hey Joe questions. Joe cracked the door.
Hey Joe, brought to you by Oak City Sports Cards, oakcitycards.com. From Ken, hey Joe, will the ACC challenge the refs to adapt, allowing for a more physical game, which seems to be the norm in the NCAA tournament? ACC teams have been conditioned into a style that doesn't seem to translate as tough as needed on the national stage.
I get where the question is coming from. I will push back on the notion that the ACC is not tough enough or whatever it is. Duke didn't lose to Tennessee because they weren't tough enough. They've responded all year long, and I thought they responded against Tennessee. Now,
this also implies, though, that the ACC has their own officials. They don't.
They have
a lot of their officials worked the NCAA tournament. Now, I usually don't see officials from your league. But that doesn't mean this is like a whole set of officials who only work your games.
Yes.
So there's some confusion there with the question.
The
framing of the question.
I think the issue is that there hasn't been any consistency across college basketball.
Every whistle is different every year. Ask Gonzaga from 2017 when all three of their bigs got in foul trouble in the first half against Carolina. Do you think they were allowed to play in that game? Of course not.
Yeah.
So every game is different. We have this push and pull. Usually it does happen in the NCAA tournament and specifically in the Final Four where it's like, all right, are they going to let them play? Are they not going to let them play?
You don't have that in the NBA.
You give me a tight whistle on that Baylor team that just, you talk about bully ball, when they won the title in the bubble in 21, it changes the complexion of any game. And I think from the jump this year, I do think the ACC made a concerted effort to be more loose and free with the game in terms of how they were going to call plays. I think they gave them a standard of how they were going to call a block of charge. I think they gave them a standard on what contact they were and weren't going to call. And I think for the most part, we've talked about this with officiating, 90, 95% of the time, they got it right. It's that 5% where you're looking at it and you're going, this is what we feel like determined the game.
Yeah.
But I don't think officiating was the ACC's problem. Quite frankly, the ACC teams that did not get old by going through the portal and using NIL money are the ones who suffered, quite frankly.
That's fair.
Straight up.
Specific to the question about officiating, though, I think we can all agree that it is not as consistent. And there was a moment in the Duke-Tennessee game where Stan Van Gundy's on the call with Dan Bonner. All right.
Great combo.
An amazing combo. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And Bonner does college ball all year.
A lot of ACC.
Van Gundy does not.
No.
He's an NBA guy, and he's great at it. So at some point, he was complaining about calling timeouts. He's like, you're going to want those timeouts. And Bonner, like, gently actually'd him because of the, they're going to go to monitor reviews in the last 5 minutes of this game. Trust me, they're going to have time to talk.
Catch their breath, yeah.
Catch their breath, talk things out while they're at the monitor. Those things are kind of built in. I know you pointed out to me, this is why you should just go to quarters, by the way, as well, to not worry about that or with fouls and everything else. The reason why I brought up Van Gundy is that he's used to seeing a game officiated a particular way. The one thing I would say about this past season, to the point of emphasis, I would have appreciated more flops.
Called flops.
Those block charges, why are we still calling them the old way? If there's a concerted effort to actually legislate out these flops, well, then call them. Because there were a few times where you could have called them, and they didn't. Maybe they gave warnings I wasn't aware about, but call them. Otherwise, the behavior is not going to change. Next up.
Yeah! From Mark, hey Joe, if the Carolina Panthers gave you the keys to the Cadillac, which QB would you take number one overall in the NFL draft?
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group.
For me, it's not even a question. I think CJ Stroud is the best quarterback in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I like his combination of size and his ability to make plays with his feet. That doesn't mean he runs. It means he has the ability, as we saw in the Georgia game, to extend plays and run when he has to, which I think you have to do now in the NFL.
It is funny. We've reached a weird point in college football quarterback discourse, where I was reading a Charlotte Observer story on C.J. Stroud, and they were kind of just doing a whole what the scouts say, and there was like, it's his reluctance to run.
Yeah.
I was like, man, back 5-10 years ago, that was used as a plus. Like, hey, man, he's not going to cost his team. You know, he's not going to invite injury. Now it's like, no, man, go. Come on, do it.
And which you saw him do when the money was on the table against Georgia.
When it mattered. And I'm with you. C.J. Stroud's the guy. I understand you have to make a conversation between now and whatever that is, April, whatever the draft is, late April. Was it April 26th?
27th.
It's usually my birthday.
It's my wedding anniversary. Kelly didn't think it was funny when I said on our first year anniversary we went up to New York. I was like, hey, you want to go to Radio City and go see the draft and go boo the Jets? She's like, no. Which I don't blame her. Anyway, point being that we got a lot of time between now and the first round of the draft, and you're going to have to create some sort of controversy or some sort of debate. I don't think there is one. Based on everything that Frank Reich has said, and we'll hear from Frank Reich, who met with the media yesterday, everything the Panthers coach has said screams C.J. Stroud to me. Screams it. But
I don't know.
Telling you,
I decipher some of what they're saying is Bryce Young.
All right. We'll debate.
Okay.
In about 20 minutes. Next up.
Whoa. From Andy. Hey, Joe. Fanatics. That's the question.
All right. Help me out here because I'm confused as to why people are mad at a clothing company.
So, Fanatics is more than a clothing company, and that's the problem.
Okay.
It looks like, according to Greg Wyshynski at ESPN, Fanatics is going to be the official uniform maker of the NHL in 2024 and beyond.
Not Nike, not Adidas, not Reebok.
Not CCM. Shout out to CCM. I'm a CCM stan.
Sure.
Anyway, so Fanatics is going to take over. Now, Fanatics didn't start out as like an actual apparel maker. They were an outlet, essentially. Fanatics, back when I used to subscribe to the Sports Business Journal, every issue gave me some sort of Fanatics acquires this. Essentially, they were a supply chain company.
Okay.
You want stuff printed up quickly and to the consumer fast, Fanatics was the move. And they've essentially taken... They seemingly have a monopoly on how fans buy stuff. officially. Okay.
But it's not their brand?
But then they got into their own brand.
Okay.
So think of Fanatics as like the Trader Joe's of fan apparel.
All right.
Where it's made somewhere that might actually come from the same factory as the more expensive stuff, but is it as good? Who knows?
It's a little bit of a knockoff.
It could be considered a knockoff. Sometimes, like, I love Trader Joe's. I say this as somebody who goes to Trader Joe's. Sometimes you get a white label Trader Joe's thing that is hits, okay? Other times you get something that doesn't necessarily hit. So that's kind of the case with Fanatics. At least that's my understanding of Fanatics.
Just to be clear, it's not the peanut butter cups from Trader Joe's, which would be top shelf.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah.
Those are great.
It would be more of like the Trader Joe's cereal brand or the Trader Joe wine or...
Right. Like the Puffins. Like the Two Buck Chuck, which is no longer Two Buck Chuck.
Oh, no. Puffins. Come on. No.
Is that a cereal?
Yeah. The Puffins are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Or the Candy Cane JoJo's are just as good as Oreos. Right. But you just hit on the one that I'm kind of like.
Oh, you don't like those?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I didn't get you that for your birthday then.
Oh, what, the peanut butter cups?
Yeah.
No, those do.
Oh.
It was the other thing. The thing was the Two Buck Chuck.
Oh, okay.
Like Two Buck Chuck, you get what you pay for.
Sure.
Which is going to be a really bad hangover. So that's kind of what.
I can't drink wine at all.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That's kind of
what Fanatics
is. I can't take
communion
anymore.
So this isn't like people complaining about, well, what does Adidas know about hockey? Right? Like, that's not what this is about. This is more about Fanatics, their business, and their quality in terms of what you get. One listener put it perfectly in a response to me earlier today, where he's like, if I'm buying just a T-shirt as a gift for somebody, like for you. Okay, let's say I'm buying a T-shirt for you, and I want to save a little money on it. Well, then Fanatics is going to have something that will do the job.
Right.
Okay? But if you want something like legit authentic, you might not want to go through Fanatics as a brand.
So will they have a premium level?
I would imagine that's
going to
be the case. Is this
like Costco, where sometimes there are Costco brand part things that are like premium?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. We'll see. I'm reserving judgment. I'm just simply expressing why fans
and
are upset.
People are upset
about Fanatics.
Because they basically, this is like when NC State went to LA Gear.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is what they feel like.
Perfect example.
All right.
But then again, I'm so old that I remember getting Canes jerseys from the guy that said Coho on them. Okay. And I turned my nose up at that because it wasn't a CCM.
I'll tell you this, the jersey, Jackson now has three jerseys.
Yeah.
Wow. The real ones.
Oh.
Okay. So,
well then,
yeah.
Didn't know that NNO money hit back in the day. Anyway, next up.
Lean back. From Bennett. Hey Joe, if Keats is already floating his name out there for jobs like Georgetown, then is the writing on the wall for his time in Raleigh?
How is he floating his name out there for Georgetown?
Well, there's been a perception, and I've picked up on it from people, even from other basketball coaches.
Sure.
That there's this idea that he's kind of like, hey, look, if there's another job that wants me, I'd be willing to go get out of the tough neighborhood, if you will.
So Kevin's agent is Miles Solomon, who doesn't play games.
He doesn't play games.
He is not one of my guys. I like Miles, but he's not one of those guys who plays games.
Gotcha.
Okay, number one. Number two, coaches are always about their next contract. I don't know how many different ways I can say this to you and how many different times I hope it resonates. Kevin just got a two-year extension on his contract. So he's got 5 more years on his contract. So what coaches always worry about is their next contract.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't go somewhere to take fewer years and less money.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something coaches do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we'll leave it at that. Okay. Next up.
How you doing?
From Irwin. Hey, Joe, what players from Duke transfer or enter the NBA draft?
I mean, I got to imagine that Derek Whitehead's going to go to the draft. I got to imagine that Derek Lively, somebody's going to look at the upside of Derek Lively and take him not as a lottery pick, but somewhere in the first round. Tyrese Proctor is probably the most intriguing one of
still
the group.
Still pretty young.
Yeah.
Not sure he's ready for the NBA.
Yeah.
But obviously ready to make some money. And also, that is the trick with the NBA, is the second. Now, he did come from Australia. He's young for his age, as Yogi Berra might say.
Mm-hmm.
So he could probably stay in school for one more year. Filipowski will be an interesting one because I do think he's probably a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Although he didn't set the world on fire with his shooting, which was supposed to be his strength.
I can imagine him coming back
because of
that.
I feel like he had to do so much of the other stuff with Lively's injuries and some of the other things that I feel like we didn't really see him as a guy who's out there a true stretch four, kind of banging threes, which I could see him coming back being the focal point of that team. But, you know, they got five of the top 20 recruits in the country coming in next year.
Right.
And they're not coming in for free, A. And B, they're not coming in to watch
these guys play.
The six-year point guard come in and do something else. So that's the tricky balance that John Shire is going to have to figure out. I would expect to see Proctor back.
Could you see Roach transfer? Or just decide to go to the NBA?
I don't think there's a spot in the NBA for Roach. I could see him come back, but I could also see John say to him, I think you've taken us as far as you can go, and if you have another opportunity that you can. Because remember now, NIL money, people are going to pay NIL money.
Yes.
But they're not going to pay it to everybody on the roster.
No.
And if you feel like Roach is going to be a complimentary player, then, well, you know who Xavier might say, hey, come here and you be the lead guard for our team.
Yeah. Bring him over to NC State.
Till that happens. Wait.
No,
it's coming.
It's going to happen.
Carolina State move is coming.
I'm calling it right now. In fact, there were some people that are already floating the idea of like, well, what about Dontrezz Styles going to State?
I mean.
Right? I'm just saying, like, State's going to
happen. State doesn't get those players from Kinston. It's not a thing that usually happens.
But with NIL, you want to stick around. There's an opportunity. Just saying.
It is coming, and I think it will be glorious whichever direction it goes.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
Are you struggling to get a good night's sleep? Look no further than Parkway Sleep. For 20 years, we have been your locally owned and operated sleep center.
I'm Brandon Gigling, president of Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Did you know that people are waiting a staggering 6 to 8 months for a sleep study at other sleep labs? At Parkway, we understand the importance of your sleep needs. That's why we offer openings within weeks, not months, saving you time.
Don't let sleepless nights take over your life. Visit us today at parkwaysleep.com. Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Sound sleep, sound health.
And sometimes I forget that I follow Cam Newton. It doesn't get put into my feed a lot. So I'm scrolling. Like, okay, here's a funny cat video. Okay, here's some sort of like Disney influencer that's getting force-fed into my timeline. And then, oh, here's Cam with the captions and everything. He's like, who are all these randos getting on squads before me? Here's Cam on Instagram as he's getting ready to throw out Auburn's pro day.
Tell me how these randos keep getting jobs.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to show you. I can't wait to show you. Oh, I love it. I love it.
So he's throwing against air. He's going to throw a pro day. Okay, fine. Whatever. Now.
Ain't 32 more than me, you did.
That's my favorite part. So, I love Cam. I think people understand that. I love that energy. Always have. The locker rooms clearly love that energy. Remember when they brought him back to the Carolina Panthers in his washed form? Like, despite all that, players are like, yeah, now give us Cam every day of the week, right? That being said, he wants to know why randos keep getting jobs in the NFL. Well, there's a couple reasons why. One, they're super cheap. And there's not going to be any sort of debate as to whether or not that rando who's backing up a guy is going to supplant the starter. And whether Cam Newton thinks, you know, he can go and say, look, I'm a backup. I know my role now. That's not going to stop people from having that conversation. It's not going to stop a locker room from looking at Cam going, man, I love this guy. Give him an opportunity. That's probably the reason why Cam is not getting opportunities, number one. Number two, he's not what he once was, man. And unfortunately for Cam, he's got to play a particular way. And if you can't do that, Joe, he doesn't have a role.
Yeah, the last time we saw him, and look, man, he's 34, right? And yeah. Sometimes you have to realize you're 34 is not Tom Brady's 34. It's mm-hmm. not Aaron Rodgers' 34. It's not Drew Brees' 34. You play a different way. And the last time we saw him, he was playing under Matt Rhule, and he was jerked around by Matt Rhule. There's no doubt about that. But he couldn't run the football anymore. And if you can't run the football and you can't extend plays the way that he needs to, he could throw and look like a bazillion dollars today at Auburn. And he probably will, or probably did already.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, Cam Newton's always been able to throw the football. Okay? You're either a hater or a racist or both if you think Cam Newton wasn't able to throw in this league.
Mm-hmm.
He was an accomplished passer in this league. Okay? The problem is, his strength was on third down and extending plays, not only when he had the ability to run the football at a level that no other quarterback in the history of this league did because of his size.
Yeah.
All right? But he also had the ability to extend plays and make throws that other people just couldn't make because of his arm strength on the run, on the move. Okay? He can't do that anymore.
Mm-mm.
And if you can't do those things anymore, you can't play in the league anymore. And it was the day after Christmas. I think it was his last game with the Panthers.
Yeah.
They might have played the next week.
It was the last home game.
They're playing the Buccaneers, and yeah. I'm watching him, and I'm going, he couldn't beat the end to the line.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying to outrun somebody, and he got walked down, and I'm going, can't do it anymore.
That was the game you went to at Bank
yeah.
of America?
Yeah.
That was the last home game. That was the last game for
Cam
Newton.
Can't make that play, if you can't run, and yeah. you can't pick up that first down, you can't do it anymore.
Look.
And you know what? It catches up to all of us. But as I like to say, we don't get to write our own endings.
We don't.
It's not how the world works. I don't begrudge him trying to get back in at 34. I yeah. don't at all.
No.
He should make a run at it. But he has to be more realistic when he says, oh, there ain't 32 whoever's better than me. Yeah, there is, man. There really is.
That's classic. Athlete mentality is always going to – you got to think and do what you feel like you got to do to succeed. So I'm never going to fault an athlete for thinking like that, ever. Ever, 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 ever. People want to clown him like, oh, wow, how could you say that? Well, because that's the kind of mentality you need to get to the level that he's at or was. Thursday Night Football, Pittsburgh Steelers, 2017, T.J. Watt, shoulder. That was it. That's it. Call it right there. He was never the same. Because not only can he not run like he used to because of the various injuries, but his arm was never the same. And he was never the most accurate thrower to begin with. And when you lose the ability to chuck it, that also becomes a problem too. And it sucks because I loved watching Cam Newton play. I don't think he'll be getting a flyer after the Auburn Pro Day.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.